Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. Brought to you by Blue Sky Business Consulting, we discuss five questions in about 15 minutes.
And hello again, everyone. Glad you could join us for the Team Engagement Podcast. I am very excited to welcome from Kansas City, Missouri. I should double check. Are you on the Missouri or on the Kansas side of it?
This is still a sore spot for me. I lived in Kansas City, Missouri for years, and we're on the Kansas side now. So, yes,
I should have double checked before we got started there. But this is Jennifer Wadella, and she is the Director of Angular Development at Bitobi. And so we are excited to have you on here and to learn a little bit more from you about leadership and teams and all that kind of good stuff. But before we get to those questions that we asked, Jennifer, what would you like the audience to know about Bitobi?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here. So I work at Bitobi, which is a consulting services firm. We specialize in application development. And I like to say, you know, we're not just here to sling code. We want to make sure we're helping our clients build the right thing the right way. And so that includes user testing, making sure we're providing a great user experience. And then when it comes to building the application, building it the right way that's going to be maintainable and scalable and very swift for you to continue to be able to build features on top of. So we're really big on building things the right way to make them sustainable for the future.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's an important thing. You want to make sure you can keep that future perspective. So that helps with the scalability, as you mentioned. So that's great. All right, well, let's get started with our questions then. Jennifer, as you've been helping to kind of build this business, is there a challenge that you've overcome that you're especially proud of?
Yeah, I think, and this kind of permeates my entire career in leadership, the biggest challenge I've overcome is my own mama lion. I tend to be very protective of people on my teams, you know, lean very heavily into servant leadership. But the problem is that can be very stifling for your team members. If you protect them too much from everything, you're preventing them from having opportunities to learn and grow. I don't know if you've heard the term snowplow parents. That's kind of assigned to the current parenting generation, where they try and just snowplow all obstacles out of the way for their kids. Yeah, you can do the same thing to your team members. And so by not letting them, you know, fight the hard fights, you're depriving them of those abilities to learn and grow. And so that was the biggest challenge I feel like I've had to overcome to help be a better leader who can better build businesses.
Well, that's a great observation, great self-awareness, because yeah, it can be a real challenge to figure out what your leadership style is and to not be that snowplow leader or parent either way. And make sure that there is the appropriate amount of challenge there, because that is how we grow. And it's not easy, especially in a leadership capacity, but it sounds like you've had some great experience learning how to do that. And so hats off. I'm a big proponent of servant leadership myself. So I'm always excited when other leaders come on and talk about their servant leadership experiences. So that's great. All right. Well, question number two, as a leader, how do you help to nurture an environment or a culture of creativity?
I think everything starts with vulnerability. You know, you have to create an environment where it's okay for people to express ideas and be able to test theories and stretch their wings without feel of ridicule or failure or negative outcomes. So kind of making sure that you're fostering an environment where that kind of energy is welcomed. I feel like this can be really hard if you have a lot of experience under your belt, because you tend to want to jump in and correct people or say, oh, no, that's not going to work, or, oh, this isn't a good idea. And I think there's a balance to be had there, where you want to give people space, even if you know maybe that won't lead to the best outcome, to let them kind of figure that out on their own and without having their ideas crushed. So,
oh, I really like that, because that ability to create that environment where people feel safe, for lack of a better word, in sharing ideas without retribution or ridicule or whatever. But boy, I really like that you're doing that, because that, to me, I agree completely. That's a really important component for people to feel safe in sharing and creating. So very good. All right, question number three, as a leader, again, how can you help the team members or the employees to learn to trust each other?
So almost the same answer as answer number two is, you know, creating an environment of vulnerability. You know, making sure that they can express ideas and communicate with each other. But sometimes it takes a little bit of an extra push. You know, I deal with software engineers, a lot of times, sometimes they're on the more introverted side of the spectrum. They might have really great ideas and just aren't comfortable expressing that out loud. So as you build relationships with them as their leader, you can help them build relationships between each other. You know, if somebody has a certain thought expertise in an area and somebody else has a need for that expertise, you can connect them and bring them together. So if you pay attention to that and kind of prioritize fostering connections like that, eventually over time, they will start to grow on their own and they'll start to reach out to each other. And so you can create the environment, but then do a little extra pushing to kind of make those connections in the first place. And then it becomes a very normalized part of the culture and they start doing it without additional input. As you bring new team members in, you know, you see them reaching out, you see them connecting other people other ways, and you just can completely step back and kind of watch the magic.
Oh, I love that. I love that because, and I like kind of that idea of just giving a little bit of a nudge, because sometimes we all need that little nudge, a little encouragement. And you said some really important things in there, Jennifer, and I won't try to repeat it directly because I'll probably mess it up, but I'll mention something in particular that you mentioned that sounds so subtle, but it's really important. That says, if you're paying attention to your people, and if you get to know them, you're paying attention, because that's something that, quite frankly, a lot of leaders are not paying attention to, are their people and how this person may have a skill set. This person may need that skill set. And if they're paying attention, as you said, you can connect them. And I love that, but it is so, so important that leaders pay attention to their people and what they can contribute. Great response. Love that.
Well, and it's a superpower too, because that's one of the things that leadership provides you, is you have that 20,000 foot view where you can see these patterns and connections versus your team members that are also like tunnel vision, task focused. It's hard for them to take that elevated stance. And so it's something that you have in your power, you may not even realize.
Well, it's something else that when you were mentioning that before, you mentioned that sometimes, especially in your industry with coders and programmers and so forth, they tend to be a little bit more introverted and may not feel as comfortable sharing ideas. And so kind of going back to both the trust with each other and the previous question with creativity, sometimes they need that little nudge, that invitation, if you will, to share an idea. They may not share it just voluntarily, and you kind of have to voluntold them a little bit and get them to open up. So yeah, great comments. Love it. All right. Question number four. I suspect, because we're all human, but maybe this has never happened to you, but somewhere along the line, maybe there's been a failure or a setback of some kind. Maybe share an example of something like that that you turned into a win.
So I think I have different views on failure when it's looked at like that. And I think it's probably because of my age and being part of the startup generation. And there's this whole idea of fail fast, right? And if you fail fast, you haven't really failed. You've just learned and gotten closer to what it takes to win. So I can't point to a whole lot of failures. I think the only failure would be if I did something, if I didn't learn from that thing, and then I did the same thing over and over and over again, that would be a failure. But as long as I'm testing things, trying, seeing that they don't work, and then figuring out how to iterate and make it work better the next time around, that's how I turn failures perceived into wins.
Oh, I love it. I love the attitude. I love the approach of, well, gee, I don't know if I failed that much, you know, especially if you're learning from it, because I agree completely. It is a little bit, I've had other guests kind of say, that's almost a trick question, because if we're learning and we're growing from the word failure, then there really is no failure. So I love your approach to it. I think that's awesome. All right. Well, Jennifer, last question. Tell us a little bit about your first job.
All right. How specific are we going to be? This, like, you know, on a payroll employee, or are we talking like babysitting or like bagging groceries at Price Chopper?
Yeah. And once in a while, I'll have a guest ask that very question. And I always kind of say, which one do you think you learned the most from? And I'll counter question with that.
Okay. So that would probably be one of my first like bigger jobs out of college with the company that I had interned with in college. I was working as a web designer, doing a lot of Flash, doing a lot of email templating, very, very sexy work back in the days. I learned a lot about capitalism and how companies will not offer you the same loyalty you offer them in America. So yes, right. Shout out to that narcissistic CEO for teaching me a lot of good lessons early on, including how not to be a leader.
How not to do it. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. We either learn from the people who know how to do something or the ones that don't know how to do something. And leadership is certainly in that category. Oh, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing that. And again, Jennifer, thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast today. How can people find you?
I am on Twitter, or I can't even say the new name. I'm still annoyed about it. So you can follow me on what was previously known as the Bird site at like OMG at Sveti. I do have a blog available at jenniferwadella.com, and I do a lot of speaking at conferences all over the world. So if there's a tech conference, you may see me there.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll look for you then. So that's great. All right. Well, thanks to you also, Jennifer, for everything that you're doing to help the young ladies of the world to learn to get into technology a little bit more. I think that's fantastic. And then I'll also give a big shout out to all of our viewers and listeners, wherever you may be. Thank you so much for tuning in to hear the podcast and for listening to Jennifer's insights on leaders and teams. And we wish everybody a great day, great week, great weekend, whatever you may be doing. Best wishes.
This is Sean Richards with the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. For more ideas, go to teamengagementpodcast.com. We also invite you to follow or subscribe to our podcast wherever you may be listening or watching. Is your business thriving? Go to tbs-score.com to find out. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day.